This is Shane Hunt, Dean of the ISU College of Business and host of the new KISU program, Bingle Business. Tune in for my conversation with Don Zeeby. Don is an ISU College of Business alum, and we talk about Don's career, we talk about the importance of sales and our new sales initiative here in the ISU College of Business, as well as the impact of COVID-19 on commercial real estate. Then we welcome Dr. Alex Bollinger, professor of management here at the Idaho State University College of Business, to discuss his research, his new book on role plays to help universities across the country, as well as an incredible program that he did with our students, which resulted in a great new PBS documentary. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Bingle Business. I'm Shane Hunt, the Dean of the College of Business and a professor of marketing here at Idaho State University, and we are thrilled to welcome you to our program this evening. Tonight, we're honored to have a great Idaho State University College of Business alum, Don Zeeby, who's a vice president with Colliers International. Don, welcome to the program.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much, Shane.
So, Don, we're so excited, and you've been so great to me as I've transitioned here to ISU. Tell us a little bit about your background and your career, kind of from ISU to where you are today.
Well, that's going back many years, but I tell you, when I graduated from Idaho State in 1980, oh, I shouldn't have said that, but when I graduated in 1980, I really started in retail locally. And then I decided, you know, I need to do something a little different. So I moved to Salt Lake City and got a job with a small company in satellite communications. After being there about 6 months, I got recruited away to go to GE. And I started in GE in sales and worked my way up to the executive vice president over sales and marketing at GE for GE SpaceNet. The guy that interviewed me was a guy by the name of Gino Picasso.
Okay.
Right? And funny story with Gino. Because I sent him that obligatory thank you letter after the interview, right? Hey, thank you so much. Well, I spelt his name J-E-A-N-O instead of G-I-N-O,
yes.
Right? So he calls me up and offers me the job. And he goes, oh, by the way, my wife's name is Jean. My name is Gino, and it's spelt
with a G.
Right. So my tenure there, he always would tease me about calling him Gino, me after his wife, rather not spelling his name. But we had a great relationship. And after Jack Welch retired, the interesting thing about GE is you hit these career ladders, right? And
right.
And at certain ages, you kind of limit yourself to growth. And so when Jack Welch retired, I was maxed out at where I was going to be. And Jack retired, and we got raided. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to Oracle and starting up a software division for them called Process Manufacturing Software for the Americas, and learned just a huge amount and really was quite successful. Then my wife said, you know, I'm tired. Let's go back to Pocatello.
It's no better place in America than Pocatello.
You
absolutely.
Bet. And so we ended up selling everything we had and moved back to Pocatello. And it's like, what do I do now? Because I have too much energy. I just cannot sit still, as you know.
Yep.
And so I ended up starting doing real estate and doing commercial real estate. And it's been just wonderful for me.
And Don, you're one of the top commercial real estate people in this part of the country. And one of the things that I know from a business standpoint that has been interesting to a lot of people, What do you think is going to be the impact from COVID-19 as we've gone through this, a lot more people working from home? What kinds of impacts do you think that this crisis or pandemic will have on commercial real estate going forward?
Great question. And you mentioned this to me a little before we were going to have this conversation. And so I kind of looked at it. And I see five major trends unfolding throughout the coming year. One is going to be the rise of tertiary markets. We're in a tertiary market, so
Absolutely.
We need to be prepared for that kind of a growth. There's going to be some prioritizing of hybrid office models and employee health. There's going to be some changes in there. And the WeWork companies
mm-hmm.
out
yep.
there are going to witness a resurgence of their business. And we've got some real phenomenal entrepreneurs, that graduates from Idaho State University, that have done some WeWork-type concepts in downtown Pocatello. And I think they're poised for great success in what's going to go on here. And then I think we're going to see and I might be stretching here a little bit, but I think we're going to see the rise of micro businesses being created. I also see a continued demand for 3PL, third-party logistics, as witnessed by what's happening in the Salt Lake Valley and the Boise Valley. So we should be ready to absorb this kind of growth as well. But we're going to continue to see population growth.
I agree.
And the reason for that is many people are still working from home. And they're saying, I'm tired of this rat race. I'm tired of the smoke. I'm tired of the riot. I'm tired of everything. And where's a good place to go? Well, guess what? We live in the greatest secret on earth, Pocatello, Idaho, Chubbuck, Idaho, the Portneuf Valley. We live in a great place.
No, and I think that's so true, Don. And I think when you see here the talent shed that we have here in this part of the country and just all of the quality of life things here in Pocatello, Chubbuck, in the Portneuf Valley, I think we really do have a really fascinating opportunity to go out and do some special things. You talk about sales and your career being in sales. I think that a lot of times new students don't understand the fact that the best way to get into a lot of organizations is through sales. And so talk about that a little bit, about just how you got into a career and a path in sales.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. When I was a GE, because of the division I was responsible for, I had to hire sales engineers. I had held marketing people. And sales engineers typically are technical people. And when you hire these sales engineers to come out that provide support to the salesperson out there from a technical perspective, they have to have a great amount of cohesiveness and be able to work together and play off of each other.
Absolutely.
At the same time, being able to not convince, but to provide a solution for the customer. And consequently, when I would see many of these students come, and I'm talking Yale, Purdue, UCLA, I'd get these students coming in when they were graduating, and I'd ask them, what's your sales background? And they'd say, well, I don't have one. Well, okay, so why are you interviewing for this position? Well, I have a friend that's doing this and just loves it, and he told me I would be good at it. And so I said, well, that's great. And I would look at his resume, and his resume was okay. And I'd look at his transcripts, and you know what? I may have turned down some great people, but the thing that I was looking for was that little bit of sales experience that they didn't have, that their college didn't teach them. And so consequently, even accounting students, I was working with the Big Five. And when I'd sit there and work with them, I'd go into Upjohn and Philip Morris and have these meetings. And I would have these CPAs sitting next to me that were phenomenal salespeople. So you really need to know, they say a salesperson is born. You know, that's the gift of gab. There's really a lot of tactics and strategies and philosophies and methodologies that can be used to find out really what you're selling and be great at it.
So one of the things we're really excited about that we're launching this semester is our new professional sales certificate that students anywhere at Idaho State University can take, a 9-hour certificate that prepares students across disciplines with those kinds of tactics and skills that you just mentioned. We're going to be doing several events here as part of our professional sales series. Don's going to be part of a panel that we're doing here in the next few days, and a lot of great things to build for that. I guess one question I would have for you, Don, looking at students today and all the great things that they're exposed to, why would you encourage them to learn more about sales and to build those sales skills?
Well, that in itself is the big question. I have a friend of a friend, and I was talking to him. I said, so you graduated from ISU. What was your major? He says, oh, M&O. I said, awesome. What are you going to do with it? He says, I'm going to be a manager. I said, what? He says, I'm going to be a manager. And I said, but you guess what he's doing today? He's been out of college for 5 years. And he's still in sales.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's doing that. And so I said to him, hey, I thought you wanted to be a manager. He says, well, I'm working towards it. And I asked him the question. I said, had you been prepared to understand sales when you left, would you be a manager today? And he said, probably.
Absolutely.
And so it's the preparation. It's the knowledge. It's the understanding. And it's the background that you've got. Now, you don't have to go out there and execute it. But if you've got a good basis of what sales is about. Now, there's tons of methodologies out there. There's a lot of tactics, and every company employs a different methodology or a strategy in sales. And so this program, we're not going to teach any specific methodology because we don't want to shoehorn you into it. We want to expose you to the multiple ones that are there so that you can look at it and get a really good understanding. But it will prepare you to compete with those that are coming out of colleges that have got courses like this and give you a leg up on those, or an ability to compete better with those students that have got that experience and give you the opportunity to get that good paying job.
Oh, I think that's so true, Don. And I think that the sales experience, again, across discipline areas and regardless of what a student's majoring in, it's going to be something that can be so powerful in helping them as they go forward. Don, I want to thank you for being our guest tonight. I also want to thank you because, Don, you represent what is one of the truly special things about the Idaho State University College of Business, which is the thousands of incredibly successful alumni we have throughout the world that are not only doing great things in the private sector and in government and academia and business, but also that come back and give back to the current group of students. So, Don, thank you for your support of our students. Thank you for your support of me and our other professors in the College of Business. And we look forward to visiting again very soon.
Thank you, Shane. Looking forward to our meeting on the September 24th.
Yes, the sales panel.
Yes.
Please look at that. There will be ways, if you're listening to this after that, there will be ways on the College of Business website that you can go out and view that, and we hope you do. Please let us know of any questions you have or things you may be interested with our new sales program. Don, we thank you, and we'll be right back with our next guest, Dr. Alex Bollinger.
Check out this and every episode of Bengal Business at KISU.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Bengal Business. I am thrilled to welcome my friend and colleague and truly one of the best management professors in America, Dr. Alex Bollinger. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Hunt. It's great to be here.
So, Alex, for those that are listening that maybe didn't have the privilege to be in your class, kind of tell us a little bit about your background, where you studied before you came to Idaho State.
Sure. So I'm really proud that I got my undergraduate degree here at ISU quite a long time ago and did an MBA here as well. My PhD is from the University of Utah, the David Eccles School of Business in Management. And I spent some time back east teaching at Penn State Brandywine just outside of Philadelphia before taking the job here at ISU.
Well, we're so thankful that you came home, Alex, and there is rarely a week that goes by that I don't hear multiple students talk about the impact that you have on them, and we so are appreciative of you and thankful to have you here. One of the things we want to highlight on this show is so many of our professors in the ISU College of Business are doing some really incredible and important research. Alex, I know you're working on some things focused on female leadership in crisis situations. Just want to ask you about that a little bit, talk about some of the research things you're doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working with some colleagues on a project that we started kind of when the COVID pandemic really hit here in the U.S. There's a whole literature they call the glass cliff, which talks about how often women are appointed to leadership positions, but after a crisis has begun, often with like an organizational crisis.
Right.
And it creates difficult situations because as they're disproportionately put in situations with a high probability of failure, it weighs down on their earning potential and their career outcomes and so forth. But what's interesting is that in COVID and during the economic crisis that has accompanied it, female leaders have done really well. And we've actually found some data from the New York Times where we found that states led by women have actually outperformed states led by men, not just on health outcomes, so things like mask wearing, percentage of citizens who wear masks, but also on employment data as well. And so we think it's really important, not just, sort of as an interesting finding at this moment, but also it sort of suggests that, if women are given an equitable opportunity to lead, they can do just as well as men. And that's so critical because if we're not tapping them for crisis leadership, we're missing out on a huge portion of our talent pool.
Absolutely. I think that's a really important thing. I think it's fascinating, too. The ways that we're able to take our research and utilize that in our teaching in the classroom and the impact that that has. So that's great. Now, Alex, we're going to talk about a couple of books. So in addition to the journal articles and the research you're working on, let's start with the new book that you have, the new academic book that you have out, and kind of tell us a little bit about that.
So one of the things that and this has been a tradition here in the College of Business at ISU for a long time, long before I was teaching here, and in fact, even before I was a student, is using experiential activities, so role plays and things like that, where it's not just the instructor telling students about concepts and leadership and motivation and things like that, but actually putting them in situations where they get to role play the situation out as, say, as a manager, work, you know, a supervisor working with an employee, and then sort of say, okay, how did that go, and reflect on that experience. And so I'm very much building on the legacy of others in management before me, people like Jim Jolly and Bill Stratton, in that I'm using many of the sort of same tactics with role plays. And I'd accumulated so many of those over the course of the years that I thought, you know, it would be great to write a book about that. And so along with a colleague from Penn State Brandywine, she and I put together a full-length book manuscript where we talk about sort of the ins and outs of if you want to use role plays in your classroom. And it's role plays if it's in person, so face-to-face, but also role plays if you're, for example, online using Zoom like this, and you have students go into breakout rooms and actually role play face-to-face in that situation.
Wow. And that's going to be available. Is that available now? That's coming out this fall?
It just came out in August. And in fact, I brought a copy because I just got it mailed to me. And
oh, I love it.
I always told my parents, they'd always said that I would write a book. So I needed to bring home a copy for them.
Well, and I think that's great, Alex. And I think one of the things that we're all so proud of is truly that will be something that instructors across the country and throughout the world will utilize your book to help them be more effective as teachers, as educators. And it's a real testament to you that so many people look to you for that. So thank you for doing that. And along those lines, I've been around a lot of really neat projects, student projects over the years, but I don't think that I've ever been around one that is more impressive or more impactful than the one that you did this past semester with your students. So talk a little bit about that project and then what that project has led to.
Absolutely. So I'm with you. This is one of my favorite projects that we have a chance to do. Several years ago, I started a class on collaborative creativity. And the idea behind that class was I do a lot of research on teamwork. And, you know, teamwork is one of the top skills that employers are looking for when students come out into the workforce. And it's really hard to teach in just sort of a contained, you know, even within a semester. And so I was looking for, are there sort of real world ways of simulating the kinds of collaborative creativity that teams do, you know, engage in the real world. And sort of that process through a series of events led me to the idea of having the class write a book. We've done this several times. It began about 5 years ago. My grandparents lived in Pocatello for a very long time, and they passed away about 10 years ago. And my parents and I were kind of going through their belongings, and they had boxes and boxes of materials from Garrett Freight Lines, which was a company here in Pocatello. It grew to become the fifth largest freight carrier in the United States at one point.
Wow.
And, you know, all of these great materials and, you know, sort of this treasure trove of things. And it was sort of like, well, how do we get this information out to people? How do we get these pictures and these stories out? And so one thing led to another. And I said, well, we could talk about teamwork, and the students could write a book about Garrett Freight Lines using these materials. And we could use sort of Pixar Animation's framework for how you engage in collaborative creativity. So all of these pieces came together. We found a publisher, Arcadia Publishing, out of South Carolina, which has an international presence. And anyway, that was the first iteration. And we've written a total of 4 books now. And the most recent was on Idaho during World War II. And in many ways, I think that has been our most successful so far.
Well, and talk about, so it's an amazing thing for students. I think about this as a parent of a college-age son. What an impactful thing. And the World War II project in particular then led into an amazing new documentary partnership with PBS that people can view. Tell us a little bit about that, Alex.
Sure, absolutely. So this particular topic really captured the imagination of the Pocatello community. We received some press coverage from the Idaho State Journal, who has been a fantastic partner all along the way, and KISU and the Bengal newspaper. And these articles got picked up by a documentary filmmaker over in Boise. He used to work for 60 Minutes, CBS, and Frontline in New York City. And he'd moved out west to kind of, as he's getting closer to retirement and kind of a change of scenery, and has really fallen in love with Idaho. And he read about our students, and, you know, 2020 is the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. And so he was looking to write or to put together a documentary film about how people remember World War II, and specifically in Idaho. So our project really caught his attention, and he drove all the way over from Boise in a driving snowstorm in January to interview the four students in our class. And, you know, originally we were just going to be a small snippet of sort of his broader documentary. And he had a chance to interview our students here at ISU. And he pulled me aside afterward and he said, look, he said, I've never seen such impressive students. I think this documentary needs to be about them and how they remember World War II. And so the documentary, which is now, you can get it on Idaho Public Television. It's a link there. And it just really features our ISU students and just some of the incredible stories they unearthed as they wrote this book.
Well, that's amazing. And people can go out and stream that, correct, Alex? They can go out to the PBS site and stream that. I've watched it. It's an incredible documentary.
It's amazing. And you're right. Forrest Berger was the filmmaker, and he's a pro, experienced, but also really has a heart for students, and captured the spirit of that class in a way that I don't think anyone else could have.
No, and I think it's amazing, too. Alex and I have participated in several events where the students who were part of writing this book and part of the documentary, and I think one of the neatest things is just their reflections of it, Alex, how much pride they took in it and how it's really helped prepare them as they move forward either into graduate programs or as they move forward into their careers.
I think so. I think it's been a shot in the arm in the sense of growing their confidence. I mean, they can go out into the workforce and say, I'm a published co-author. And, you
Absolutely.
Know, that's something that makes you stand out for sure.
No, and it's a great opportunity to them. And Alex, we thank you so much for that. You know, one of the things that I'll share is I often joke when you hear my voice on this program, you can tell that I'm not from Idaho originally. And one of the things being relatively new here as the dean, I have never found a business school in this country, and there's tons of great business schools, but I've never found one with a higher percentage of people, faculty and staff, who are dedicated to the success of our students and helping them have better lives. And at the end of the day, the thing that was most powerful that made me want to be a part of the ISU College of Business family are programs like that, are people like you, Alex, and are things that we are doing to help our students have those better lives and brighter futures. So, Alex, I thank you. I thank you for joining us on Bengal Business. I want to thank our partners at KISU for their help and support throughout this process. I want to thank all of our alumni and supporters all across the world that are giving back and helping our students. And I will tell you, I don't think that there is a better place to go to school, and there's definitely not a better place in this country to get to go to work and be a part of. So for all of us with the Idaho State University College of Business, thank you for listening to this edition of Bengal Business, and we look forward to visiting with everyone soon. Have a great day, and go Bengals.
The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impacts of our ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Each episode features ISU College of Business alumni who is a senior executive at a leading organization, sharing their experiences, thoughts on current business-related events, and advice for business professionals and entrepreneurs. In addition, each episode features interviews with an ISU College of Business professor where they discuss their research, the impact it is having to solve current business problems, and innovative things they are working on in the classroom. The show is hosted by Dr. Shane Hunt, Dean of the ISU College of Business. Join us on the final Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m. here on KISU FM for Bengal Business.